And we thank you for Jesus Christ. Speak now, Lord God, because we're listening. Speak a word for us. And come, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our midst. Come and be among us. Be with us this day. Fill us again. Revive us again. And remind us of the Good Shepherd. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And we hope as the sirens go that all is well. Say a prayer for whomever or whatever is happening by God's grace. And let me begin with this reflection, and it reads, it's subtitled, Our Master Makes the Difference. And the writer says, as I have moved among men and women from all strata of society as both a lay pastor and a scientist, I have become increasingly aware of one thing. It is the boss, the manager, the master in people's lives who makes the difference in their destiny. I have known some of the wealthiest men and women on this continent intimately, also some of the leading scientists and professional people. Despite their dazzling outward show of success, despite their affluence and their prestige, they remain poor in spirit, shriveled in soul, and unhappy in life. They were joyless people held in the iron grip and the heartless ownership of the wrong master. By the way of contrast, I have numerous friends among the relatively poor people who have known hardship, disaster, and the struggle to stay afloat financially. But because they belong to Christ and have recognized Him as Lord and Master of their lives, their owner and manager, they were permeated by a deep, quiet, settled peace that is beautiful to behold. It is indeed a delight to visit some of these humble homes where men and women are rich in spirit, generous in heart, and large of soul. They radiate a serene confidence and quiet joy that surmounts all the tragedies of their time. They are under God's care, and they know it. They have entrusted themselves to Christ's control and found contentment. My sermon title today is, Jesus is No Hired Hand. And I hope you are reminded today that you are under God's care, and I hope you have entrusted yourselves to God's control and have found contentment. Initially, I was going to say Jesus is not the hired hand, but I thought I'd say it like the young people would. Jesus is no hired hand. And who's the hired hand? You look at this text. Jesus is making a statement. He is speaking to a group of people, the Pharisees, and he is going to make a point. If you know that throughout the Gospel of John, or only in the Gospel of John, there are 7 I am statements. Jesus wants them to know who he is, as he wants us to know who he is to us. There's 7 I am statements, and they are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the doer of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And so today we're going to talk about I am the good shepherd. And obviously, if the text says I am the good shepherd, it also reminds us or alerts us to the fact that there is a bad shepherd. Right? When you say I am the beautiful one, means that there's an ugly one somewhere in comparison. Right? Do you know what I mean? Remember that these things come to mind as I'm speaking. so you know, I am trying to filter them as I speak. Sometimes they get out. But you know what I mean. They escape in the way of preaching. But I am the good shepherd, he's saying. And we remember that we know in the text from the Old Testament, Ezekiel will speak of the bad shepherd. He'll say, God is not the bad shepherd. He does the opposite, right? So we know that when I says I am something, I'm making a statement. And who's the hired hand? Right? And the attitude of the hired hand. A hired hand is a person who is hired for short-term manual work. Hired hand. Short-term manual work. You just hire somebody to do something. Sometimes you don't even know much about them. Right? You just need this job done and you hire them. And you know when you hire someone and you don't know much about them, what happens? Or what they're going to do, you could be disappointed, can't you? Because they're the hired hand. First point. The second point, the hired hand has no interest in the sheep and cares for them only as far as to secure his or her own hire. The hired hand. Number three, the hired hand is only interested in wages, not sheep. And I used the explanation today, earlier, and I'll share it with you. You know, when you're on the job, that's why they call pastors, we're supposed to be called the shepherd, shepherds of our flock. You know why? Because if we're a hired hand, we'd be what? Keeping track of the time, all the time. You can't call me at 8 o'clock at night because I'm the hired hand. You know when you're on the job. I use this, I know you're all good people, you didn't do that. But I will talk about us that are not so good. We're going on to perfection. That I'm head of the pack. And so here it is, you know, they hire you to be the accountant in the firm. Something I used to do. I hired you to do it, and by the time you're there 3 months, you are the secretary, you are the accountant, you're answering the phone. If you don't watch out, they want you to make the coffee and other things while you're at it. And you say, you didn't hire me for that. Because a hired hand wants to be what? Specific. This is what you're paying me for. This is what you're hiring me for. Now, sometimes with Missy, when I ask her to do something else, I say, Missy, guess what we'll have to do? She'll say, is it in the job description? She does it all the time. I said, Missy, we've got to make these things. And we got. She says, Pastor, should I take out the job description? I said, since I don't have one, whatever I get to do, we're going to be doing it together. All right? So the hired hand has a job description. You see, Missy doesn't have a job. She thinks she has one, but she doesn't because we have outgrown the job description after the first week. The hired hand is just working for wages, right? Hired for a purpose. Number five, the hired hand will abandon the sheep, will abandon the flock to predators. Because the hired hand just wants to do what they're paid to do, and when they're done, they're done. Number seven, the hired hand may not seek the lost and the scattered sheep. They're not going to do anything that they're not going to get overtime for. You know what I'm saying? The hired hand. So when all of you are working hard and you're doing more than you're supposed to do in your jobs and you're not getting paid for overtime, it's because you're not hired in. You're working like sheep because you're doing you're doing it beyond what you should do. The hired hand may dominate the flock with force and severity because the hired hand really doesn't have a relationship with the flock. The hired hand truly doesn't love the flock. Just doing its job. Once I had a guy doing something at my house and he was hired for the, and something was within the purview of what he could do. And he said to me, I said, but you need to fix that little part. He said, you didn't hire me for that. And if I'm going to do that, it's going to be more. And I understood his point, right? He's a hired hand, even though I was begging nicely for him to do it and smiling at him. And I'd given him water and lemonade and all of that to make him feel good all the day. He says, no, I'm done now, the hired hand. So that's the contrast, that's comparison. He's being drawn between two individuals, the good shepherd and the hired hand. They represent two completely different kinds of leadership. Because that is what this passage wants us to understand. The community is being portrayed as a sheepfold. Do you know that Jesus, God thinks that we're sheep? That we're sheep without an S? Do you know that all throughout the Bible, there are over 300 references of the flock as sheep? That we are sheep over and over again. And therefore, God has decided that we need a shepherd. We need someone to take care of us, to keep us from thieves and bandits and all of that, so that we can continue to live righteously in Christ. And so the hired hand couldn't do the job. Jesus would ask his disciples in the Bible earlier, "Who do you say I am? Who do they say I am?" You remember Peter would answer, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah." We're learning Jesus' answer to the question that he asked his own disciples. We're learning it in this occasion. Who do you think that I am? And rather than let us guess or simply give our own opinion, he identifies himself. He says, "I am the good shepherd." John, who wrote the fourth gospel, records the seven sayings. And in these statements, Jesus clearly wants us to understand that he is the good shepherd. But amazingly, he doesn't use it with titles or name. He just uses it with metaphors. As he describes himself, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door." He wants us to get that he is the one who cares about us. As he describes himself, so we will take a look at that. He is the good shepherd. The way Jesus is going to describe himself to us is one of the most encouraging, strengthening, and comforting statements in the entire Bible. The words are simple. Simple five words. "I am the good shepherd." Not a question, no excitement, just fact for you to hold on to. He wants us to get it. And do you notice that in the Bible, God never calls us cats or dogs or anything like that? But we're his sheep. And so here comes Jesus, and I'm going to let you know what the good shepherd does for us and continues to do for us, the good shepherd. You know, there is a song that we don't sing. I don't think we sing it here. It's not in our hymnal. Trying to find my mic here. I wait on the minute. So, here it is. We'll come on in a second.
And now here we are. The little song says, it starts with the chorus, "Lead me and guide me along the way, for if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me." Have you heard that song? And the first chorus is, "I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest hour. Let me through the darkness thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me." You see, we need a good shepherd to lead us. Second verse says, "Help me tread the paths of righteousness. Be my aid when Satan and sin oppress. I'm putting all my trust in thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me." And then the third verse, we could take it home. It says, "I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be. Lead me, O Lord, lead me." Lead me and guide me along life's way. For if you lead me, Lord, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Can you imagine just get up in the mornings, each morning, and that's all you say to God? Just lead me, God. Lead me this day and guide me along life's way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Sometimes you have to say it during the daytime. Sometimes you have to say it when you're weak and weary. Sometimes you should be saying it when you're driving on the streets and things happen. Lead me, Lord. So now here are the characteristics now of the Good Shepherd. So we can be reminded today of what Jesus is all in that scriptures, all in that little pericope that we just read, that short little scripture in John about the Good Shepherd that we should be reminded of. Earlier I read a little reflection from a child who was in Sunday school, and they were doing the Lord is my shepherd, and the child said, The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I want. Because they had gotten the understanding different. They didn't say, I shall not want. They said, I've got all that I want. This little kid in Sunday school. And when we have Jesus, we have all that we want. So here's the characteristics of the Good Shepherd. Do you know, today I was thinking, this morning I was listening to something getting ready. And the writer, the person said, you know, the Bible was the first book that went to print. The Bible was the first with from Gutenberg, wherever, you know, went to printing press. The Bible was the first book that went to print. You know, you can't stop it. They could talk about it till they're blue and says it doesn't exist. The first book. Isn't there a God? And then not only did it go to print, right? It was in whatever language it was at the beginning. Hebrew and Aramaic and Cuneo and, you know, those little symbols that would be translated over and over again so that we could all, it's the most popular book in the world. Do you know the Bible? If you haven't bought one and read it, please do. Just kidding, friends, you're here. It's a great story. Does it tell you have got to agree with it? Isn't it just there for us? And you know the good news is it has some wonderful things for us. And one of them is now today, I am the good shepherd. When you're weary, I am the good shepherd. That's all you need to know, that he is the good shepherd. Here's what he's going to do. The good shepherd owns the sheep. Do you know when you own something, you take care of it. Right? Few people take care of something that they borrow. You could tell about with your kids. So I saw a man yesterday. I was coming from the train station. And he was outside washing his car. Right up here. I was walking down and pulling my luggage. Because I thought I could. It was a nice day. And he washing his car. And it was so shiny. And he was doing everything. And I walked up next to him. And I said, could you come over and do mine? And he kind of looked at me. I says, I'm just kidding. But he was doing such a good job at every little piece. You could see it was one of the big SUV. Right on Nelson Avenue, the block over. You could see that he owned it. That it was his. Whether he was paying on it or not, that I didn't ask him all of that. But that he was taking care of it, even if you lease it. Right? You still own it for a period of time. He was taking such care of it. And so the scriptures, once he tells you, the good shepherd owns the sheep. Jesus will say in John 17:12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost. He knew his responsibility. We're owned by him. And so he's going to take care. That's why God would never send a hired hand to take care of us. Because, you know, the hired hand would not have gone to the cross. The hired hand would say, you mean me? I should go die for these people? No. Not going to do that. Number two, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus would say, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We see that in the Gospel of John. Lay down his life for us, the good shepherd. Loved us so much that he would lay down his life for us. Number three, the good shepherd never abandons the sheep. never abandons the sheep. Sheep is his top priority. They say, you know, the imagery that God would use, you know, that the Bible uses, Jesus uses for those tourists, was where he was in the Mediterranean area, and what a shepherd does. A shepherd would literally, you know, the Arab shepherds and Israeli shepherds, they would literally lay down their body across the pen. Because the pen only has one gate. Did you know that? One door, one opening. Only one. And at night, the shepherd lays down. Oh, glory to God. What a story this Bible is. I love this book. I just love it. Love it to death. It lays down. And what happens is, if the sheep is trying to get out, they have to what? Cross over. They can't get out because the shepherd is going to know, just grab onto their legs. That's what Jesus does to some of us when we try to run away from him. Some of us have been running from Jesus and he's just grabbing onto us. And because he has blocked the opening, no wolf or anything, no enemy can what? Come in. Because he has blocked that's a good shepherd. Jesus would say, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The good shepherd. And that's one of those scriptures to the end, isn't it? Huh? Just believe in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe also in me. Number four, the good shepherd is our provider, our protector, our healer. He's our caregiver. Whatever we need, Psalm 23 says it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. You see, the rod and the staff means when some of us are trying to get away from him, he just takes the staff and just hooks us and brings us back. Some of us have been trying to run, but we're on a short leash. Do you know what I mean? Jesus has us on a each time we try to run. Guess what? We come back to church. We want to run, but we can't run because we think it's just us, but he's got us on a leash. He's got the rod that's bringing us in. The good shepherd. Because he's not going to let go of us. The good shepherd knows his sheep. Isaiah says to us, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I'll never forget you, because see, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. Do you know that we are engraved in the palms of God's hands? Huh? He says, your walls are ever before me. Our very walls. That means whenever anything is happening to us, he knows it. The good shepherd. And the good shepherd seeks the lost and brings them into the flock. That's why we who pray for our loved ones, our unsaved loved ones, our children, we pray for our children, we pray for our grandchildren, and we pray for those we love who doesn't know Jesus. We know that he'll bring them back if we can pray. He says the perfect everything that concerns us. You know, remember the parable where the woman lost the coin and she's sweeping and looking for the coin. One coin until she finds it. And scripture says, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels and angels of God over one sinner who is saved. The good shepherd never stops looking for us. Can't get away from him. You know, I said earlier, he's the best team master there is, the good shepherd. I want to be on Jesus' team, you see, because he's faithful. Right? He's faithful. He doesn't ask for overtime. Doesn't ask, you could call him anytime. I shared this morning that I heard my phone would go beep, because I have my phone, my cell phone is on a night table, and I heard it went beep, and I looked and I said, my God, it's 1 o'clock, and I've gone to bed late, like I always do, but it was 1 o'clock, and I said, it was 1 a.m., and so I put my glasses on to read the text, because I figured it must be an emergency, and it was Dana, who says, Pastor, everything is going well, the kids are having a good time, we're all safe, and I'll send you pictures. I looked down and I says, so? Because it was 1 a.m. But guess what? I am the shepherd, and I come under the good shepherd. So I just looked at it, and I says, okay, God bless, didn't respond, because I wanted to, if I responded, I would not probably say the right thing, would I? But we are shepherds. And shepherd means that they could call us anytime. That's why they're called pastors, shepherds, or people who serve. We are supposed to be available anytime. We are not hired hand. And when pastors start acting as hired hand, we're in trouble. We're 24/7. Even though you may not think it, you may think we only work on Sundays. It's not true. We're working all the time. People are calling us. It's an example of what Jesus expects from us. Calling us all the time, we are able to do that. And the good shepherd is our Savior and Lord. Friends, it's important. Jesus says he won't lose any of us once we have accepted him. And so here it is, I'd like to remind you that when you are in a dark, when you're in a dark place, when you're in the dark, God will guide us where we need to go. That's what the good shepherd does. When we're in the dark, when we don't know what to do, God will guide us where we need to go. When we are facing difficulty, God will get us to where we need to be. When we're facing difficulty, the good shepherd. When we are in desperation, God will get us what we need to have. And I want to tell you how personal the good shepherd gets. My mother used to have a saying, when she's going through difficulty, you would hear her, she'd be talking to Jesus. She was very Christ-centered, which is what I get, where I get my heritage from. Very Christ-centered, thinking about Christ and Jesus doing. And she had a saying that she would have heard her say, Lord, when she's praying, take the case, Lord, and give me the pillow. Do you know, I didn't even understand it when I was young. But do you see the imagery? It was a pillow and a case. The case was the problem. The pillow was the place where you rest. She would say, Lord, take the case. Give me the pillow. And when I came to America, and I was going through some problems many years ago, I remember that saying. And one night when I was alone and praying and crying all alone, I said, Lord, take the case and give me the pillow. The good shepherd. Have you ever just raised your hand to God in your own space and just says, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord Jesus, help me. The good shepherd. I'm here and I need you, Lord Jesus. If you don't come see about me, nobody will. If you haven't been through that and you live long enough, you will. Lord, if you don't show up for me, this is how I talk to God. If you don't show up, God, if you don't show up like now, I'm going to die in whatever I'm doing. I'm so alone, God, that if you don't show up, if I don't feel your holy presence around me, God, I don't think I can make it. And always, no matter what the end game is, he shows up.
Amen.
No matter what it is, he shows up. No matter what the end result is, he shows up. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And he does the same to you all. He is the good shepherd. He never changes. He doesn't need a raise. He doesn't need an increase. He doesn't need a review. He has done it because he loves us. First John will tell us. He reminds us. He has done it because he cares so much for us that he died for us, the good shepherd. And when we're weary, we need to be telling a lot of these young people that. That's why I'm glad these young people are at Quinnipiac, so they could hear about this Jesus. Education doesn't bring you through trials and tribulation when it's all in the mind. Money can do many things, but money doesn't give you peace of mind. There's a lot of folks with peace of mind with money, and they just need to hear about the good shepherd. They're so unhappy with all the money to buy everything in the world, but they just need to hear that Jesus loves them and that the good shepherd would never leave them nor forsake them. He is the good shepherd. John says, and he loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. Friends, that should bring us hope, shouldn't it? We should be joyful in this to know that Jesus loves us and Jesus cares. I am the good shepherd, he says. He wants to remind us today. He was then, he is now, and he'll always be the good shepherd. Amen.
Amen. Amen.